Welcome to Show Me Mizzou On Demand. I am your host, J.P. Rock, publisher of ShowMeMizzou.com. With me, as always, ShowMeMizzou.com contributor Greg Gibson in beautiful downtown Columbia, Missouri. Greg, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine, J.P. Thanks.
Things are good in Mizzou land so far. 9-1. Bye week is over with. The Tigers getting ready to head down for possibly their toughest game, toughest SEC road game, the Ole Miss Rebels this Saturday. And you got a chance to check out things this week at Media Day, and particularly James Franklin. The return of James Franklin, as it's announced that James is going to be the starting quarterback this Saturday. What have you learned this week?
Well, I'm real excited about James Franklin's return. Coach Pinkel said that he looks good in practice, and said he looks just like he did when he left off before he was hurt.
Which is a pretty high level.
Right, right. And I think the even though the a lot of the players were saying the right things, because they appreciate what Matty did when James was out.
Right.
But they're all pretty excited. I could see it, especially with some of the veteran players. You know, there's about half the starters on this team are seniors, and they're that's a real strong senior leadership group, and they're pretty excited about having James back in there. I think they realize it gives them a better chance to win, and that this stretch run, they got a chance to do some stuff here, and James gives them a better chance to be successful. There's no question about that.
Right, absolutely. James is playing at a very high level, high enough level that he's a semifinalist for the Earl Campbell Rose Award, which is given to the best college football player with ties to Texas. And it's interesting, the dynamic that's going to happen with James's return. I'm curious as to what a lot of people's expectations are with James coming back, yours as well. What I'm going to be looking for, though, is not necessarily, you know, there's some people who, you know, wanted to see him play against Kentucky to knock the rust off, but I think he's such a veteran player and such a high-level quarterback and athlete that that's not necessarily the issue. What I'm going to be looking for is how does the team respond? Because with Matty Mauk, I felt that the team, you know, kind of lifted Matty up on their shoulders, kind of elevated their play, you know, knowing that they had to. So are they going to continue to do that with James, do you think? Or is it a situation where, you know, they can exhale and James is back, so now we can, now, you know, we're just going to roll?
Hopefully they can, you know, the rest of the team around him, you know, continues to elevate their play, because that's the exciting part. I think they got a chance to be even better than what we've seen, from the offensive standpoint. I think these last 2 weeks, you know, we could see a Missouri offense that's even better than what it has been all season.
Right, which is saying a lot, because they were averaging about 51 points a game when James exited. But what were James's thoughts as far as coming back in? How did he? What impression did you get from him?
He was chomping at the bit. He's real excited to get back in there. You know, it's his last go round. It's his senior year. You know,
and, right?
And you know, he was real appreciative of what Matty was able to do, hold down the fort, you know, and keep him in position where they got a chance to win, you know, the division, or for that matter, the conference, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, James wanted to get back in there and take it the rest of the way. It came out through all of this that he's been throwing for what, 3 weeks, I guess, since he started throwing
right.
The football. Mm-hmm. But the reason they were holding him out was because they were concerned about him taking a hit,
right.
getting re-injured. You know, and so they just wanted to give it the full 6 weeks. It'll be 6 weeks on Saturday since he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's not probably not 100%, you know, healed, he's probably close to being fully healed. Close
right.
enough to where I mean, obviously, if he gets dumped on his shoulder, he'll probably get hurt. He did the first time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a rough game.
Yeah, it's absolutely a rough game. Yeah. And something that you and I have talked about previously was James's you know, protecting himself. And on that play that he was injured on, it looked like he kind of let up a little bit and didn't quite protect himself.
Well, I think he thought the play was over with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? And I think that was a late hit myself, but you know, it wasn't flagged. I think James is protecting himself. It has not been his strong suit. I think
No. He's
a guy that kind of throws his body around and doesn't really do a good job. You know, I've been watching quarterbacks. You know, and you know, James don't like to slide. You know, he struggles with you know, avoiding contact. You know,
right.
He kind of goes against his grain.
Yeah,
he'll learn. He'll learn eventually.
Especially on the next level.
He'll learn to avoid those hits. But a lot of quarterbacks, you see, you know, they just, you know, they avoid hits, you know, whenever they can, you know. And
right.
he kind of doesn't really do that. And as a result, he takes a lot of abuse, physical abuse, that he doesn't need to. And probably, you know, he shouldn't be taking it. In my opinion, that's a flaw in his makeup, is that he doesn't do a good enough job of taking care of his body, you know, protecting himself from hits, avoiding hits, sliding, all that kind of stuff that quarterbacks need to do at this higher level, you know.
Right.
And
did you get the impression this week from either James or Coach Pinkel that James would be doing a better job of that, and James would be protecting his body a little more.
I asked James if he was going to be sliding,
mm-hmm.
if he'd been working on his slide, and he says he wasn't going to slide, but he said, I will be trying to avoid, you know, contact.
Well, avoid contact. James is the one who likes to deliver the blow. He likes to truck linebackers and defensive backs.
Well, and I'll tell you what. If there's one of these games on the line and somebody's, you know, trying to stop him from getting in, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's going to try to run over him. I can promise you that.
Well, that's just his natural instinct. Yeah, his natural ability. Now, Matty Mauch did a great job, and I guess the staff feels pretty good about having Matty Mauch there. I know that some people, you know, Matty threw 5 touchdown passes his last game and put up some good numbers, but some people seem to try to start a little bit of a controversy regarding Matty should continue to play. But you and I watched the games, and as nice of a job as Matty did, James is much better of a quarterback at this point in his career than Matty, so it just makes natural sense to go with James. And Coach Pinkel kind of, verified that for you at Media Day.
Yeah, I don't know what people are watching if they think that Matty Mauch has played better than
that's been
than
going
James
on for some time.
I don't see that. You know, he did well. He's done well.
Yes.
He did good. You know, but you know, James was having a season that is, you know, close to the best in school history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. James is in rare air with his stats.
He's rare air. Yes, he is.
And you know, it goes beyond stats. It goes beyond stats. It goes on you know, how he handled the team, his presence. You know, the Tigers lost a bunch of their offense when they lost him, including the zone rate.
That's one of the things that doesn't even really show up in the passing stats, the
right.
passer efficiency rating, and that is how well he operates the running game.
Mm-hmm.
And running the football is the Tigers' ability to run the football is going to be huge this week and next week too, because if they can run the football to their average, you know, where are they averaging close to 230 or 220 or something like that,
right,
they were
yeah.
averaging 230.
Mm-hmm.
I think really pretty much all their offensive statistics went down when Matty was in there instead of James, but nobody seems to want to notice that. But if they can run the football for 230 yards or 220 yards this week and probably again next week, get the same results, they'll win those games.
Right. Absolutely. And James just does such a great job of you know, running the offense, let it go through the natural progressions, utilizing all of the weapons that he has at his disposal,
I think he reads the defense, whether it be passing game or running game, as well as anybody Missouri's had at quarterback since Chase Daniel,
right,
probably.
And clearly the best of any quarterback currently on the team.
Yeah, well, we have seen some of them, you know.
Well, back in practice,
I would assume he does better than those freshmen.
Yeah, based upon my knowledge, he does. So I feel pretty secure.
I would expect that in
saying that. Yeah. So you know, it should be a boost in the arm, but again, you know, you never know. You know, I'm curious as to what the expectations are from pretty much everybody, including James. I know James is probably high level, but you know, will James come out? You know, will he start slow? Will it take him some time to build, to get comfortable again? How will the team respond to him? Those are the things that I'm looking forward to finding out on Saturday.
Yeah, it's, you know, you never know, you know.
Right.
You never know. That's why they play the games, you know.
That's very profound. I need to remember that. That's pretty profound. Coach Pinkel is a semifinalist as well for Coach of the Year Award. Great job by Coach Pinkel. Something that really came to light that I really hadn't been thinking about, but just really stood out to me. The fact that if Missouri wins on Saturday, or you know, against Texas A&M, if they reach the 10-win mark, it will be the fourth time in 7 years that Missouri has reached 10 wins. Which is outstanding. And based upon the vibe you get in Mizzou Nation, you would think the opposite. You know, I know last year was a down year. You and I chronicled it, you know, top to bottom as to why it was a down year due to injuries. But people jumped all over it. Oh, you know, there were some even say Coach Pinkel's on the hot seat. They can't recruit. But, you know, four 10-win seasons in 7 years is impressive no matter where you play or what you play.
Yeah. Well, in the last 5 years, they've had the third most first-round draft picks, too.
That's not bad for not being able to recruit.
Yeah. Oh, I hear all the opposing coaches saying around the SEC whenever I do the research on for the, my opponent previews. Every coach basically said the same thing. Missouri's really talented team.
Yeah.
You know, Hugh Freeze is saying that Missouri's defensive line might be the best one they've seen.
Absolutely.
He said Missouri might be the fastest team they've played. Now they got their butts kicked by Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Which is right.
And he's saying Missouri might be the fastest team they've played.
Which is saying a lot.
And you know, they're talented. They're talented. They've been talented. They've been getting more and more talented all the time.
Absolutely. Two-game stretch. They, you know, their destiny is in their own hands. They can wind up in Atlanta on December the 7th if they take care of business these next two games. Let's turn our attention to Ole Miss and what you found out about them in doing your research for the preview. It's going to be on showmemizzou.com. What do you know about Ole Miss?
Well, they play two quarterbacks. There's the passer, the starter is Bo Wallace, and he's a good looking rascal. He throws the ball really well. Mm-hmm. And they've been passing for over 300 yards a game most weeks, I think. And let's see, I think I can get the numbers right here. In fact,
yeah, Bo Wallace, very impressive, and he's a mobile guy too. Now he have a big arm and can hit all of his targets, but he's mobile enough to hurt you with his legs a little bit too.
He doesn't really run the ball much, but mm-hmm. he scrambles well.
Right.
He's mobile from the standpoint of getting out of the pocket. I'm trying to look at their passing. Passing yards is they're averaging just under 300 yards passing per game.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense really looks a lot like Missouri's offense.
Right, pretty similar numbers from them as along with Missouri.
But, I mean, as far as what they do and the type of personnel that they have too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now the other quarterback that plays, he comes in. He's a runner, but he throws the ball well enough and often enough that the defense has to respect that he will, you know, pull it on a play action and go, you know, usually most of the time when he's throwing it, he's throwing a short, safe pass, but he will go up top occasionally. They use three different running backs. They're all listed as starters. The one guy that's been out a little bit, but I think he'll be back this week, is this Scott kid, and he's a little – he's similar to most of Missouri's running backs. He's small, extremely fast, very elusive. He's their punt returner also, kind of a Marcus Murphy type guy, I guess, really. And the other two kids are similar type guys, maybe not quite the big hitter that he is, the big home run hitter that he is. But and then their receivers are tall guys. They're 6'3", 6'3", 6'3", across their starting wide receivers. So it's similar, run the similar offense to what Missouri runs, and the personnel similar. Now I would say this. I don't think their offensive line's as good as Missouri's.
Mm-hmm.
And defensively, they're young.
They're young. Their best talent is probably their young talent. They did an excellent job recruiting, and they have a lot of freshmen starting, including Treadwell, the outstanding wide receiver who Missouri recruited from the Chicago area, a really talented left tackle, Tunsil, which is going to be an interesting matchup going against Coney Ealy and Shane Ray. I believe the young man, Tunsil, hasn't given up a sack all year long. Maybe it's just SEC. But that's going to be an interesting matchup, how their offensive line handles Missouri's talented defensive line.
One of the things that Coach Freeze and some of the other offensive people that I heard talk about Missouri was that they were concerned about being able to run the football against Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Missouri is only allowing a little over 100 yards a game rushing in conference.
Right.
They're one of the tougher teams to run on. And in addition to that, you know, they also put pressure on the quarterback without blitzing.
Right. Yeah, Missouri's rush defense is number 14 in the nation overall.
Right. And they were concerned about their being able to run the football. Because from what they said, and then I checked it with the stats, too, cross-checked it against the stats, their only losses have been to, you know, A&M, Auburn, and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but in each of those three games they lost, they were not able to run the football like they normally do. They, Alabama held them to, I think, less than 50 yards rushing. They managed a little over 100 yards rushing in the other two games. And probably even more significant to the, because it really stands out when you look at their defensive rushing stats. In those three games, each of those three teams ran the ball for over 200 yards against them.
Mm-hmm.
And even LSU, which they won that game on a last second field goal, they didn't give up 200 yards rushing to LSU. I think it was 170 or something like that. And I think they ran the ball a little better against them as well. And so,
Ole Miss's offense, you know, pretty balanced, 498 yards average per game, but they do, you know, need to have the rush. They average around 200 yards a game rushing. They do rely on the pass, but they do need to be able to run the ball so that people can't just tee off on Wallace. Tigers,
right.
You know, the numbers, total offense, like you said, besides their offenses being similar, their numbers are pretty similar. You know, they both look for the balanced offensive attack. And, you know, the scoring offense, Missouri has an edge there, and Missouri has an edge on the defensive side. So, you know, by the tail of the tape, Missouri, you know, should be able to hold their own, if not come away with the win down in Ole Miss.
Well, there's two things about, you said that the left tackle hasn't given up a sack all year, but they've given up sacks.
Yes.
Wallace has been sacked a number of times. They've given up they've given up 22 sacks.
Right. Those four other guys need to hold their own.
And they've only sacked the quarterback themselves 14 times. So they've actually been out-sacked, if there's such a word as that.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri's really got an edge there in terms of putting pressure on a quarterback and the ability to do so at the same time as, you know, stopping the run. Mississippi's held their opponents to 4.1 yards per carry, which is pretty good. But Missouri's allowing opponents to only an average of, what, 3.3, I think it
right.
is.
Right. And, you know, Missouri, again, you know, elevated their team play. The thing that has to have people impressed about this Missouri team is they continue to get better each week. Now, you know, how the bye week figures in for them, you know, will they start slow? Will they be refreshed and come out? And, you know, they're going to need to play a full four quarters against Ole Miss. They're going to need to be able to start fast. Start of the game and coming out in the third quarter, in my opinion. But talk about the overall team health and what the bye week seems to have done for that.
Well, I think the Missouri team is as healthy as they've been, you know, since the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, they've lost three players, I guess, that would be candidates to play. Ernest Payton, who was lost at the end of camp, not for the season, and then Marvin Foster, who was, I guess he was the number four defensive tackle at the time that he went down.
Right.
And then Corbin Bergstretzer, who had played sparingly earlier this year, the quarterback, the third string quarterback. Those are the only three guys that are out. DGB looked good when I saw him, and then Washington, LaDainian Washington, he's going to play. He insisted that on Monday that he's going to play. So mm-hmm. he's been receiving some treatment for a foot injury.
Right, exactly. So we'll see what happens. Can't get here quick enough Saturday. Mizzou on the road. Their final SEC game, road game of the year down at Ole Miss. Let's turn our attention to recruiting for a little bit. Brandon Lee, the last commitment for the Tigers, but there's some other things going on. You know, it happens every year. Missouri does a great job with their, you know, identification, evaluation process and offering these kids. And lo and behold, as time goes on, these other schools seem to see that and try to come in late and do a little pilfering of Missouri recruits. Brandon Lee, a great addition, but apparently it looks like Jonathan Williams has been offered by Notre Dame and Michigan and may take a visit or two. And Nate Brown being steered in the direction of Georgia.
Yeah. I want to talk about Brandon Lee.
Well, this is my thoughts on Brown and Williams. I can say without a doubt that they would both be better players at the University of Missouri. And that's not you know, a joke. Knowing what I know, I can honestly say that, you know, that they would wind up being better players at Missouri. Plus, I will also say Missouri will find a good players regardless. So I never worry about kids going elsewhere.
Let me say this about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're both still saying that they're committed to Missouri.
Correct.
So, I you know, but at the same time, I think, you know, we're seeing some activities, you know, today, really, you know, that would seem to suggest that Missouri's, you know, preparing a contingency.
Yeah. Time stands still for no man, Greg. So,
you know, they're making plans that if they lose these guys, and I think they're doing that all the way across the board.
Absolutely.
With all their kids. I mean, there's certain commits I think they probably feel like it's not really necessary to do that.
Right.
But probably well over half the class are kids that they, you know, have a contingency plan in place, you know, because they just, you never know.
Yeah. That's exactly. That's recruiting 101 to have that. Looks like the remaining focus, not a lot of spots left, but, you know, offensive line, primarily offensive tackle, safety, and possibly wide receiver. You know, word at the time of this on-demand, you know, big receiver from Texas, Frank Iheanacho, probably butchering the heck out of his name, but 6'7", 220-pound wide receiver from Houston, West Side Texas. A heck of an athlete. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this kid, but you know, he's 6'7", but he plays like he's about 6'2", 6'3", with his athleticism and just his body control, how he runs routes, his quickness, and his movement. So Missouri's offered him. So we'll see what happens on that front as far as with him.
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting guy. You know, he's another tall guy. You know, I love the tall receivers. You know?
Missouri loves the tall receivers. You're seeing a lot of teams try to mimic that.
He's kind of a basketball player. I don't know, when I was looking at his video.
Yeah, he is a basketball player. He did not play football last year.
He looks like a rebounder. You know, so I love that.
There's a reason for that.
I like that. I like that, you know, and he's so tall and long. He's got plenty of room to add weight, too. You know, he could probably get bigger, get in there with Coach Ivy and get bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah, he looks like a basketball player because he is a basketball player. In fact, he did not play football last year. He played basketball.
He's got real good hands. He's got mm-hmm. real good hands.
Yeah, he's a heck of a power forward. He's just, yeah. You know, in case that whole two-sport deal.
Let me get back to talking about Brandon Lee. This is a guy that Missouri offered way early and really wanted him. And he's very high up there. He was very high up
well,
on their here, list.
Here's the thing about that. Missouri does not offer kids they don't want. And
I
know there's some discussion on our message board about the numbering of kids in order.
Oh, well.
Missouri doesn't offer kids that they don't want or won't take commitments from, as you well know. So, you know, Brandon Lee was offered a long time ago, but there is a backstory to that, which you were getting to, about how his recruitment kind of came full circle.
Well, I'm just saying he had, you know, at one point in time, he had told me that he had eliminated Missouri from consideration. This was,
right.
I don't know, probably 5-6 months ago. And then, you know, from what I understand, he contacted Missouri this
yes.
fall,
mm-hmm.
and you know, now he's committed to Missouri. And the
right.
best thing about him, this is a kid that's a starter quality guy. This is an all-conference caliber type, you know, guy. That's, you know, I would say that since he's coming in at midterm, you know, he's got a real shot at seeing the field next year. I'm not suggesting he's going to play linebacker
mm-hmm.
as a freshman, but
right.
but you know, be a guy that you know that get on the field as a freshman, and you know, end up being a starter for 2 or 3 years. You know,
right.
and he can play. He's versatile enough to play probably all three spots. I'd say if they, you know, he could maybe even. But, you know, get big enough to be the middle linebacker. You know?
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, that's how Missouri likes to recruit their linebackers. But, you know, things always change in recruiting. That's why it's, you know, it's hard to get too high. I always tell people, don't get too high, don't get too low. Brian Wallace, another young man who had eliminated Missouri at one point, and, you know,
right.
has his official visit scheduled for the Texas A&M game.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And you know. Things looking promising there with big,
well,
big
yeah,
Brian Wallace.
He'd be a really great get. Mm-hmm. He'd be a really great get. And you know, they're closing out the class in good fashion. It appears to me, you know, get some you know, add some real high quality guys to what they already have.
It really does.
I hope they hold on to Jonathan Williams for sure, because
mm-hmm.
I think he's a guy with a bright future. And,
well, especially under Coach Cool, you know.
I like Nate Brown too, but
yep.
You know, it's be up to him. I mean, if he wants to stick with Missouri or not,
right?
But,
exactly.
I think that you know, those kids that are, you know, if they come in early, they've got quite a few, looks to me like, that are lined up to come in and participate in spring ball out of this class.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you're here in the spring, that certainly improves your chances of playing early. Of course, Missouri's got probably, what, 15 true freshmen that are sitting there waiting to play, and there's a
right.
bunch of really good players in that
absolutely.
Class, too.
Absolutely.
A bunch of really good players.
Absolutely. And, you know, well, we can talk about this on another, you know, on-demand podcast, but, you know, I don't necessarily see a bunch of guys that are going to come in and compete. That's how well Missouri's recruited. That's how good this 2013 class that was much maligned is. That you're not looking at a bunch of guys who are going to come in and necessarily compete or play right away.
Not only the true freshmen, but you got a bunch of redshirt freshmen that hadn't really played much yet. Guys like
that's what I'm talking about. Those
John
are the guys
Gibson and guys like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The 2013
kids are they're all going to enter the mix in a big way in the spring.
Everybody has to wait their turn, but that's all part of the process. Like I said, Missouri has recruited that well that you're not having to pull guys in before they're necessarily ready. They can wait their turn. And, again, Missouri's much maligned recruiting abilities.
Well, I think that's a great spot to be in, that you don't have to rush these kids in, even though they're going to end up being NFL players. You don't have to put them in the lineup today. You can let them develop.
Right. No, the most difficult thing.
Because you have good people in front of them.
Yeah, and the most difficult thing about that is, fans' expectations. Why hasn't this kid hit the ground running and seen the field? And the players themselves, their expectations. They're starting. Are athletes and they want to see the field, they want to play, and there's a guy who's ahead of them who's just as good, if not better. And so that's the biggest thing that the Missouri coaches have to deal with, but it's a nice problem to have.
Talent's great. You gotta have it, but
you're a better coach.
You also have to develop it.
Yeah.
And then you gotta play somewhat error-free. I mean, that's one of the things that, I keep hearing opposing coaches say about Missouri is that they don't make a lot of mistakes,
Right, right.
And,
so let's quickly turn our attention to the basketball program. Jordan Clarkson named SEC Player of the Year, a couple of nice games by him. The Tigers wound up finally signing Wright. I believe it was last Friday. And your thoughts on the basketball team so far?
Well, first of all, just about the two players that they signed, Gant and Wright,
mm-hmm.
Really talented kids, real talented kids,
right.
And that's a nice beginning to what I assume will be a larger class than just two persons by the time it's all done.
Yeah, it was announced
they'll have to figure out in the spring, how many more spots they're going to have.
Right,
but. As far as the team itself this year, now that they're getting started with the season, nice win over Hawaii on their last outing, and the nice thing about that was the performance of the front court guys, particularly well, getting Criswell in there and then Post and Rosberg, they all played probably their best game. Jonathan Williams III, J3, the freshman forward, he's terrific. He just keeps getting better each time out. He's a real talent, as is the other freshman, the point guard, Clark.
Wes Clark,
those two kids look really good. I really like those two kids.
Tim Fuller doing a nice job as the interim head coach.
I like what I've seen of him. I really like what I've seen of him. And, he mentioned today that Jabari Brown has taken on a leadership role with the team. He's kind of emerged, I guess, as the team leader. And that was one of the things I was wondering about is, who's going to be the leader on the team? Who's going to
step up and lead the squad?
Right. This team... I mean, there's no Marcus Denman. I don't see a Marcus Denman.
No, I don't think their chemistry is set just yet.
They're still figuring out their identity. Mm-hmm. They're still figuring out who they are. There's a lot of guys that are developing. Coach Fuller's, he's predicting that Keanu Post is going to develop into a really good player, NBA prospect. He looked better this last time out. I'll say that for him. And, last year, I remember Alex Oriaki kind of struggled at the beginning of season two, and then he really came on. So I don't know if Post will do that same thing or not. But
yeah, especially with a JUCO player, you know, I would imagine we'll probably know more about what Keanu Post is come conference season. Probably by the January, maybe by the Bragg and Wright's game, maybe he'll have a breakout there, and we'll see what we have with him and the team.
I've been kind of thinking that Tim Fuller's really a good big man coach, you know. Yeah. And he's got some big men to work with now. And if he turns some of these kids into players, then I'm going to put the stamp on him.
Yeah. You know? Well, Keanu Post definitely has the tools. We're about out of time right now. And up next, you know, we've got a lot of big things happening. You got Ole Miss. You got recruiting, which is heating up. You got the basketball Tigers. They have a couple of games coming up back-to-back here real soon. A lot on the horizon for the Missouri Tigers, the Missouri program, both football, basketball, and with recruiting. Any final thoughts, Greg?
Great time to be a Tiger.
There you go. Well said. For Greg Gibson, I am JP Rock. This is Show Me Mizzou On Demand. We will talk to you next time.